How's the sound? Do you hear it? Okay. Okay. Can you hear me on each side? And is it too loud over here? Okay. So maybe like a plant, a seed, that at first grows downward with the roots, usually. Beginning could be by feeling the lower body first, or feeling the contact with the ground first. As if the body is like a bag of water. And just noticing when your sense of yourself or the activity in you is more up in the head or upper body, then you could play with feeling again the lower body, like the hips and down. As if that's where our long lost intelligence and heart, deep heart, may lie. So not so much the sense of being outside the lower body and kind of visiting or touching it with a stick, but really being inside the legs. Inside the feet, the heels, that whole space, volume of the hips and pelvis, lower belly. Playing with the sense as if the bottom half of us is really the top, and the top is the bottom. And maybe allowing a few breaths to be felt as well. As if the main interest is either the contact with the ground or the lower body. But there's also the waves of the breath. And sometimes it might be surprisingly challenging to have the main interest in the lower body or the contact with the ground, and letting the movements of breathing, the waves through the watery body, just be, by the way, secondary. And sometimes we might find an interest in that sense of adventure, that just because something's harder doesn't mean there's anything wrong. But that's why we call it practice. Finding ways to let life go everywhere, and not only in the habit. And if the main word of the day could be playful, we can start to notice when there's pressure to try to get it right, a fear of getting it wrong, the idea that there is a right and a wrong. Playful includes things not going how we expected. It wouldn't really be fun if things always went how we expected. And so, in case we have not practiced as much in our lifetime connecting with the lower body, it naturally might be harder to connect with the lower body. And taking it playfully or as even an adventure, whether it's hard or easy to connect and feel the lower body, for a while, if you like. Can help us also find that slowly we keep discovering more and more of that whole world of the lower body. We keep letting the lower body reveal itself. if it feels good to you to stay connected with the lower body as a main practice for now, then please do. But I'll also give a couple other suggestions in case you resonate more with something else. Or you can include staying in the lower body while also opening to feel more fully the whole field of body. And maybe it could be something like as if the body is a jellyfish made nearly completely of water and in water. And that the lower body is the main part of the jellyfish, if you like. And the upper body could be like the arms trailing in the water. So there's support. The body can have its weight and also its floating, its volume. And can we let the eyes rest? So we're not trying to see. Or if there is trying to see, that's just another movement of life happening. But that the legs, feeling the legs, doesn't need eyes, doesn't have eyes. So gentle, just here. And if you like, there could be a sense of opening to sounds in all directions, while in the watery body. Sometimes it may happen that there's could be a sense of gathering more, maybe into the lower belly, as the jellyfish and the rest of the body, all those tentacles, those legs. And the sound waves traveling through. And we don't need to go out to meet the sounds or catch them or name them. almost as if the lower belly is made of water, in water, breathing water. And the sounds are freely, freely happening. Lightly happening. Light movements of the water that we're in, that we are. Sometimes introducing openness to sound can bring an alertness that's a bit tense. And if so, it can be helpful to feel as if you're resting back, allowing the sounds to come in or through or just to be themselves. So it could be staying in the lower belly and there's sounds happening by themselves. Or if you notice some tension coming in, possibly introducing also feeling the back. Almost like starting to rest towards the bottom of the sea. Getting out of the way. And maybe as if thinking and tension, reactivity is way up there on the surface of the sea. The back and the lower belly way down on the sea floor, feeling itself, allowing sounds. Eyes resting. Heart resting. Lower body alive, dense with life. Sounds near and far that we like and don't like. Freely happening in their own timing. And how little effort, how little awake we need to be for sound to happen, for hearing to happen. And we may notice again and again that here is me noticing a sound, but meanwhile, I'm hearing other sounds. And the me noticing that sound that already happened is not really quite now. Whereas the sound directly happening is now. And relaxing into that capacity we already have. For hearing directly. An openness to our environment that's a built-in capacity. An intimacy in our world that is already. Just direct sensing. And by letting the sounds have the freedom to be themselves, to be here, to be gone, to be just as they are, the more we allow, the more freedom we give, the more precisely we receive. So we can play with relaxing more to where our sensitivity enjoys itself, our ability to hear in all directions has its freedom. Relaxing back and down and in. The body, its freedom to be here like water in water. The sounds free. And freely received, heard, and gone. And now. And gradually we might start to allow that sense of me needing to do something here to make meditation happen. Almost like letting that get squeezed out of us like toothpaste out of the toothpaste tube, leaving aliveness in aliveness, the body, the sounds, just now. May our practice and lives be for the common good. Devoted to what helps awakening kindness, compassion, intelligence, and the fulfillment of the human life. Are there any words, any questions, or something to share? Sorry, 1 second. Also, could you hear throughout the meditation? Sometimes when she lies down for meditation, her arms, the whole arms, get heavy and fall asleep. And if I have any suggestion. First would be don't freak out. Like sometimes there's even a minimal kind of that can close you off to knowing or having an idea of maybe I could put a cushion under my elbow, maybe if I have my hands. The hands might go a different way that might leave room for flow, or it might just be a time that heaviness in the arms is there for some reason. So could I see how you're lying down, please? Do you find you need that much of a pillow under your head? Or just less, a little less high? Mm-hmm. That's what catches my attention. Yeah. And then it could be that having the hand, the elbow that bent is not enough space. So you could have, you could either lift it or you could maybe for meditation have it lower down. But maybe both elbows on something not too high. Or it's the kind of thing where every little bit can make a big difference. And so letting your idea come from a softness, quietness, and then following through on that, but not getting into a like worried or endless, what about this, what about that, what about this, what about that, that's too mental. So letting the thinking come from somewhere soft and quiet, but then taking that as a kind of gift to experiment with. Like, okay, maybe I need something big and soft over here. Like on your left elbow, maybe, under your left arm. What could I use? And then, you might see something that you have brought that you don't need to be wearing and you can put it there. And then try that. And then it could be that it's, you don't notice it being any different and there can be like a, giving up feeling, but still staying open, coming back to like, well, maybe there's a way that could be more supportive or give more space to something, or and that it might come all the way from what the body knows into our thinking, that we can act on. Okay, so it's an example and also a metaphor for the whole path. Okay. So let's stand. Slowly, slowly coming towards standing for the walking meditation instructions. Which I'm going to try to do without the microphone. So if it's hard for you to hear me now, if you could come around closer for this part, please. So just you have feet. There's more room here than there if you want to come through. And coming to standing and feeling that you have feet, letting gravity and the body get to know each other in this new position. And maybe with the feet comfortably apart and the eyes closed, feeling into your seat, lower belly, legs and feet, like the seed that sends out roots first, and especially the aliveness of the feet, like that tip of the root, meeting the ground. And from there, allowing the upper body to maybe feel some freedom and what would be a comfortable way for the arms and hands to either be loose or to hold each other. And then how that shapes the upper body. If we hold our elbows, for example, in the front, how does that feel for the breathing, for the back? For the head, if we hold our elbows in the back, that can be good medicine or just comfortable. There's the position I mentioned yesterday that wouldn't necessarily feel obvious, but can be nice, especially if you have a pocket for the lower hand on your hip. Or you can create a pocket like I did with this cloth around my hips. So that the arms can relax. That's all. Or holding a finger front, back, holding the shoulders, giving yourself a hug with the hands under the arms can be really nice. And sometimes you could feel that somewhere in the mind you might be thinking that there's a right way, and I'm just not telling you the real right way. And how is it to wonder if there's not a right way? Like to step out of that life that's about what's right and wrong, and like just here you are. And it's up to you, and also you can feel for yourself, is this maybe good enough, or this feels fun, or
So with the formal walking meditation, just the word formal can make like the shoulders go up and the breath get small. And so kind of like every once in a while shaking that off and just walking. But it can be great to let yourself find a place that you feel good to just walk so simply, just back and forth, just walking. But you're not going anywhere and you don't have to decide to go left or right. You just get somewhere that's good enough and walk back and forth at your own pace also. So it's not necessary that you have to go super slowly to look meditative. Whatever helps you connect more, which sometimes is faster. It helps get out of the controlling pretending to connect. I also want to just mention and recommend, put in an advertisement for going on a walk at some point during the day, silently, of course. Like being in the world, it happens to be so flowery and green still this year. So going on a walk too could be great, or a run, whatever. But letting the body also have some circulation. And then the walking meditation, again, like shake off the word meditation, but just simply walking back and forth during the time. And so on the schedule, it says 45 minutes of walking meditation, but usually there might be, you need to go to the bathroom, you're not the first one there, and you want to come back to the hall, I hope, please, a few minutes before the time that the meditation in the hall starts. So it's really about half an hour in the end of walking meditation. So then you could really pour yourself into it. So as with the meditation in the hall, with the walking, you can feel for yourself where your attention might land or where a sense of living and being here pops up more easily. And it could be the lower belly, or it could be the feet, could be the whole body, etc. There's one thing that can be, if we let it, really fun with walking meditation, because there's the chance of noticing in the body what happens when out of the corner of my eye I see someone else walking. And in that split second, I didn't even mean to, but that came into my eye. And all the assumptions that happen about how they're doing it better or worse or ooh. Letting all that be, it happened without your permission, but feeling it and the programming of that, how it acts in your physicality, and then maybe coming out of that shape a little bit. So there might be something around the middle of and then you could feel maybe the back or the feet, or just pause and the sky is usually around somewhere. So not to feel that that's some separate thing that's bothering your meditation, that you happen to see something or someone and a whole cascade happens in a split second that you can feel. And then maybe even sometimes like step out of it. Leave that suit over there on the ground and walk. And so it's just a mental game that I would also suggest playing sometimes if you want, of just stepping into now. So it's actually true, but it's also just a thought, an idea, stepping into now. That kind of enjoying that freedom of leaving all that, it's already gone, but we can accept gone here. Are there any questions?
So is running meditation possible?
Yeah, definitely.
As long as you're kind of
Well, there could be going for a run, and that could still be meditative, and often is. So accepting that that might be part of your path is a great idea. And then you could play with finding somewhere that you go back and forth also. And just sometimes there can come in the agenda, like what I'm going to get done sneaking onto this 6-day retreat as I'm going to I'm going to lose 10 pounds and have a 6-pack and maybe finish those 3 books or whatever. And so yesterday there was a little bit communication gap that I didn't realize quite the question about reading and writing, and so please don't. That's the idea, is really dropping into a nonverbal direct experience. Relief from how we usually identify ourselves as the thinker, the think, therefore I am stream. Yeah.
And I wonder, it wouldn't it be a better idea just to write it down and then I can forget about it because it's already written?
It's worth a try. Sometimes out of nowhere in the quiet, something comes clear, like, and it could be worth noting down. But of course, we also know what else could happen. That I think I'm just going to note it down, then it's not quite so easy as I thought to put it into words. And then I'm like, oh, and then I could... And then it's like, is that another good idea? Should I go write it down? Should I have a notebook in the hall? Should I have a notebook in my... So it's like with everything, feeling what's helpful and being honest about it. And sometimes we might find that when we happen to find ourselves, we happen to be more quiet and something does come so softly, almost like in a dreamy way, but that we know is important. It's a radical insight or like, ah, my mother's birthday or whatever. And then sometimes it could be to write it down. And sometimes it could be trusting that in the same quiet place, it's still there. It comes again. So it's not always that putting it into words on paper keeps it, because it's not necessarily about the words. It's about that kind of, that space of quiet. Or where we're more in touch with our knowing what we know that we don't know that we know. So it could be a good idea. It could be.
As long as it doesn't become about the writing.
So many ways it could go. So just staying with how it's going and remembering that we're, you know, honest. Our honesty tells us that we avoid quiet. And we avoid our own openness sometimes, like at all costs. And we'll say, oh, I'm being quiet, or this is for quiet. We'll make a lot of noise for how much we think we love silence sometimes. So just how easily avoidance of just being here can take us, and then noticing that and noticing we're still already here. And it's okay. Okay. So we have 40 minutes.
Is it 11:45?
So we have 40 minutes until the next meditation, I think. I don't have it here. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your practice.